Administration Week? I don't think so. And the topic that Leslie chose today was about conversation and about, there's so much to say about how to be an effective communicator, but I have to start with the book. Was it in the 70s, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or whatever, right? Do you remember that book?
Yes.
Okay. And that book was all about communicating with your significant other. Like, you're talking about garbage, she's talking about something else, or what have you. Let me just start from the premise, which was men and women communicate very differently. Do you think that's true, Leslie?
Oh, it's definitely true. Absolutely true.
Okay. So what we're going to talk about today is about powerful conversations, about how to have them, what do they mean. And I looked up some of the great powerful conversations that have ever been had. And when four people from the Senate went over to talk to Nixon to tell him he had to resign, people from his own party that said, you have to step down. Now, that's a powerful conversation. If you were walking over to tell Nixon you have to resign, how would you open that conversation?
Well, that's a good question. I always believe in opening questions with, opening conversations with questions. So, I would probably open the conversation with him by saying, Mr. President, what do you think needs to be done in this situation? And get him to give an answer, which then I would answer back.
You know, there's also the theory that says in something like that, where Nixon has already made 150,000 excuses, you have to open up the conversation telling him what you're there for in the first sentence. Mr. President, we're here because you have to resign.
Well, that may be in his case, but I will tell you, if we talk about a national conversation,
No, it's fun to go over this because, you know, everybody really does want the kind of examples where they can think through. Your way is interesting. What I've read about is if you don't say it in the first sentence, you will not walk out with clear definition of what the person, if you don't say it in the first sentence, the person will never, ever understand and believe what you meant.
Well, I agree with that. When you need to make a point, and that's at a meeting or anything else, if you're in the conversation for the purpose of making a particular point, that point needs to be said first. The story afterwards. But I really would like to today, in honor of National Conversation
Day,
talk about the conversations that we all need to have that we're avoiding. With influential people, people that can make a difference in our life, right? In this case, it's not President Nixon, but certainly did make a difference.
His time has passed, that's
right. His time has passed. And a lot of times we go in, and particularly you brought up the question of male and female, right? We need to engage people to want to hear what we have to say. And if we're a woman in this case, and we want to influence, let's say, a person who's in a higher position, a man, most likely, often it's a man, and sometimes it's another woman, and we don't already have a relationship with them, we need to engage them. And one of the ways to engage them is by asking them questions and getting them to talk first, getting them to speak first, and getting them, kind of warming them up, so to speak, to want to talk to you and maybe want to hear that point that you want to make. So, in the case of relationship building, which is what I think we need to do to have a really good conversation, we want to ask them a question to engage them. And that could be a variety of questions. So, who would you want to influence, Christine? Who would you might like to influence?
Well, I'm going to give you an example that I read about in preparation for this. Okay? They're casting for The Godfather.
Right.
And the president of the company that is producing that, doing The Godfather, is with the director. The director knows he wants Marlon Brando. Now, already by this time, Marlon Brando is a persona non grata for a million reasons. He doesn't show up. If he does show up, he hasn't learned his lines. They have to say, you know, whatever it is, nobody wants him on set. But Scorsese knows he wants him. So he goes in and he says to the head of Universal Studios, I think, but I could be wrong on that. Anyway, he says, I want Marlon Brando. And the studio head says, it will never happen as long as I am president of this studio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he stood up. He said he did this on person. He disrupted the moment. He stood up and he started crying, fake crying. Oh, my God, please don't do this to me. You know, like totally out of character. You know, it's more serious than being that way. You know, totally out of character. And the guy started laughing. And so the moment where he was totally held up by this, it's never going to happen on my watch. Where do you go from there? So he disrupted the moment with this huge hysterical fit, and it was funny. Everybody started laughing, and by the time the meeting was over, Brando had the job.
Okay. Is that what you mean? No, it's not what I mean. But I can see why that worked in that case. But I wonder what would have happened if he had gone in and said to him, what's the best thing that could happen when this picture comes out? What do you want to see the result be of this picture? And
interesting. And then, you know, then I'm going to say that it's, you know, got 18 Academy Award nominations and it's made $400 million. And you then can say, well, we need Marlon Brando for
that. That's right. Exactly. I'm coming up with an approach that works in most cases.
Gotcha.
It's engage the person by asking them questions. Find out what their goal is, what they want. What do they care about? Check in with them. Even just if you don't know the person, how do you warm them up? What has life been like for you since the pandemic? Showing them that you're interested in them and then getting into your issue. So I think that one of the things that I've learned over the years is the more that we can get the other person to talk by asking them open-ended questions, the more we can begin to get to what we want in our life, too, because we have to engage people first, in most cases. And if it doesn't always work.
Did you see the movie Oslo yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Oslo is about these two Swedes brought in, the Israelis and the Palestinians, in a back channel to try to get an accord, which they ended up getting in 94. And the rules that they get is so brilliant. And one of the things that I said in my review of it on ScreenThoughts.net, by the way, if people like movie reviews from a female perspective, that's where it is, ScreenThoughts.net. Anyway, what the guy did who set it up said, here's the room, takes him into a room. This is a room where you argue everything out, but you're only allowed to argue about one thing. You have to pick one thing. Number two, this is a room where we're going to eat our meals. And when you're here, we're only talking personally. And then they go back and forth and they show you how the engagement in the room where they were eating really enabled the doorways to be open, to be able to have a back channel that actually ended up working. So it's interesting. So I think that's what you're saying, you know.
Yeah, well, you're engaging and you can engage over a meal. You can engage, yes, exactly. We need to engage the other person. And we also then, when we ask the question and they answer us, we can go deeper. I say, tell me more about that, or I'm really interested in that. I really want to understand what motivated you, or how did you guide? Show them that, but the other part of that is listening. Sometimes we don't realize that probably one of the most important things about having a great conversation is we need to listen to the answers, and I mean 100% listening without interrupting the person.
Okay, now tell me, Leslie, what if I'm not really interested in what they have to say? Is that a technique that I shouldn't use? In other words, if I go into a room and I have 15 minutes, and a lot of times with some of the people I deal with, they don't want me to chat with them beforehand. They don't want to do that. Right. They're giving me 15 minutes of their hard-ass time, and I better make the presentation, and they want to know, what is it I want, how do I want to get there, and what's the bottom line? They don't want me to sit down and say, well, how do you feel about being, you know, like, they don't want to do that.
No.
So this is a technique that works in certain situations, but what if I'm not really interested in the answer, can I really play that off? I don't know.
No, then you need to ask the question that you're interested in the answer that relates to what your purpose is being there. In other words, it's not necessarily a warm-up question like I just gave about the pandemic. It's a deeper question about what the results are the person wants or something related to the presentation so that it shows, it gets them talking about it before you even present. Because if you hear what they're saying before you present, you can reflect that by using their words when you present. And it gives you more information to actually arm you with a way that you can get what you want.
But I'll give you another example. Leona Helmsley was probably one of the best salespeople in the history of the She doesn't know anybody. Yeah. Okay, so one of my clients actually is in real estate, but he trained under Leona Helmsley. So she wanted to sell some big apartment. I'm making these numbers up, like a $20 million apartment to this guy. So she had him do the research, and it turned out the guy was in the market for a Learjet. They knew he was looking for a Learjet. I don't know how they came up with that, but they came up with it. So she had a bunch of pamphlets on her coffee table in her office on Learjets. And the guy sits down, and he looks down, and he sees all these, and he picks it up. He goes, "Are you looking at Learjets?" She goes, "Yeah, I am," which, of course, she wasn't. And they started talking about Learjets, and before they finished on Learjets, she knew she had him.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't know, there's something about that that's inauthentic to me. It's like the guy didn't even know he was set up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it was inauthentic in terms of, there's no doubt about it, but her goal was to sell him, so she used the tools that she could do. And you know what? Sometimes we have to use the tools that we have, and if we have information about a person, and we can connect on that. You know, the key is to connect. Connect with the people that we are talking to, whether it's someone that you want to have, you need to open the door for you, or you want them to support you to get to a higher position, or introduce you to somebody to get funding for your business. Whatever it is, we need to find out how we can connect. Sometimes, like Leona did, she actually found it out in advance.
Well, apparently she did that whenever she met with somebody.
That's right. Not all of us can do that comfortably, but we can find it out when we're in a conversation.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I'm always shocked. Quite often I'm asked to do a phone call with somebody, as a friend wants me to talk with somebody, and they need something, you know, whatever. It's always shocking to me that it was very important for them to have this call with me, and yet, when I get on the call with them, they have no idea who I am or what I care about. And all you have to do is Google me once, and let me tell you, there's thousands of things telling you that I care about women's issues, I care about business, and I care about writing. It's not hard to find, you know? It is shocking to me. I don't know anybody who, you've got to do your homework. You know, if you want to open a conversation the way you're suggesting we do, so that everyone needs to do their homework beforehand.
Absolutely. And an interesting thing, women are known for preparing for, you know, in work, but yet often they don't prepare for the conversation, to your point. And preparing is researching. I never get on the phone with somebody without looking them up and finding out as much as I can about what they do, what they are, what their business is like, because then I can have a real better conversation and we can connect. And they know, I mean, people are flattered when you know about them, first of all. They want to help you. When you know about them, you've taken that time to get to know something about them. So research is very important. Being able to engage with them, show them that you're interested and care, and curiosity is the best tool to use in a conversation. But have that curiosity in action before the conversation, and then continue it in the conversation.
That's those are great points, really great points. So if we're wrapping up, basically what you're saying communication-wise is the opening matters. You know, you better have them in hello. And so you better plan the hello. You don't just walk into the hello. I love that. And I love the idea of using questions as a tool to get to the point. And then also, you know, do a little homework before you show up. I think that's true. Really, really well done. So,
that's right. And the last point I would add to that, Christine, is really listen when they talk to you. Look them in the eye. Show them that you really care about what they're saying. And do not interrupt them. Let them fully express themselves before you respond. So I think with those points, you can have a really great conversation.
Fabulous. Thanks so much, Leslie.
You're welcome. Let's talk after we do this podcast.
I know. Let's know what we do anyway. Everybody should know what we do anyway. And also, if you do have any questions or anything, you know, you can always look for Leslie Grossman, leadership.com.